So text 313 and 314, and then we'll chant 316, is it? So 315. Then we'll chant that one together. So we'll just go to the translations of the other verses, and then we'll come back to this one. So text 313. Well, let's go to 312. Within the Dandakaranya forest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited a place called Saptatala. The seven palm trees there were very old, very bulky, and very high. Text 313. Upon seeing the seven palm trees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them. As a result, they all returned to Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual world. Text 314. After the seven palm trees had departed for Vaikuntha, everyone was astonished to see that they were gone. The people then began to say, "This sannyasi called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be an incarnation of Lord Ramachandra." Text 315. Only Lord Ramachandra has the power to send seven palm trees to the spiritual Vaikuntha planets. And today's printed text, text 316. Eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at a lake known as Pumpa, where he took his bath. He then went to a place called Panchavati, where he rested. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. According to some, the old name of the Tungabhadra River was Pumba. According to others, Vijayanagara, the capital of the state, was known as Pampatirtha. According to still others, the lake near Anagundi, in the direction of Hyderabad, is Pampasarovara. The river Tungabhadra also flows through there. There are many different opinions about the lake called Pampasarovara. Namo Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prasthaya Vutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chanamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nibhishesha Sanyavari Prashjajjada Sitarne Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gridha Shibhashadi Gaur Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're giving a little glimpse of Lord Chaitanya's continuing pastimes of touring the holy places. I personally have never been to South India. When I lived in India for a year, I was either poverty-stricken or sick. So I never got down the south. Some of you must have travelled to South India. Put it up your hand if you've been to South India. Big, big, high, high, high. So some of these places that are mentioned in Chaitanya-caritamrita, you must have been to some of them. Is that right? Do you recognise some of these names? I mean, we've all heard the name Hyderabad. But these little rivers and sometimes an obscure lake that we haven't heard of. Perhaps even some of the lakes are turned into dams these days and all sorts of things going on in the name of progress. But when Lord Chaitanya was travelling, things were much simpler. And many of the forests he visited are no longer. Many have disappeared due to colonialism and stupidity and taking the resources. So everything in the material world comes and goes. Forests, rivers, people, of course. Empires come and go. And even the spiritual, the access to spiritual traditions comes and goes. And we are blessed by Srila Prabhupada's grace. We're on the threshold of 10,000 years access to the Hare Krishna mantra. Access is there for 10,000 years. Then after that, after when Allen Ginsberg was came to see Srila Prabhupada in New York, early days, and the topic of Kali Yuga comes up, and Prabhupada mentioned 10,000 years, and naturally, Ginsberg was curious, well, what happens after 10,000 years? What happens after that? Prabhupada, I can imagine Prabhupada lifting his eyebrows with big wide eyes, you know? There's pictures of Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, at least, Prabhupada says, I will eat you, and you will eat me. So, we don't want to stick around in Kali Yuga. So it's a little window we have, 10,000 years, just a little brief window. Anyone that goes to heavenly planets might miss it. So those of us aspiring, thinking what a better way of life, you know, this nasty place, let's go, let me enjoy a higher standard of living. Yes, it's there. But you could well miss this 10,000 year period. If you do go there, you might be very fortunate and someone says, hey, you know, you only got 3 minutes. From their time, and better get back down there again, otherwise you'll miss this opportunity. If we look at that 10,000 years of our earthly years and look at Lord Brahma's time scale, any guesses as to how long 10,000 years is for Lord Brahma? I worked it out, so according to the Shastra, so I do have a number. I just wondered if anyone here has got any idea. For Lord Brahma, on Brahma Loka, what's 10,000 years for Lord Brahma? Huh? All night? I can't hear. Blink of an eye. You're correct, yes. Have you been practicing? It's 1 second. Which is actually a bit longer than a blink of an eye. A blink of an eye, it's less than half a second. A second, that's it. It's gone. You know, for Lord Brahma. That was it. Imagine. And yet one moment's association of a pure devotee can transform one's whole existence. One moment. So one moment here, if the Brahma is, it's a trillionth, it's probably not even on scale. Prabhupada's coming to the West. So reading these verses, it's always nice to try and bring in something which is relevant to the verses. And I'm not very well acquainted with the Ramayan. So I've made a few notes here. And we'll make a few reflections on these verses. The trees in question that Lord Chaitanya embraced. Anyone here has hugged a tree? Don't be shy. You can hug your tree. Stick up your hand. I want to see who's hugging trees. Come on. Take up your hand. Right, the women, come on men, you don't be shy, put up your hand. Women, there's more women than men hug trees. Women are very maternal, they like to share their concern and their love. Sometimes we hug dogs and cats, we hug our children, yeah? We hug our husband or our wife. It's natural to hug, to show your affection. Yes, I'm here for you. And sometimes in the, you know, tree hugging, I suspect it's a relatively new thing. I don't know how people in Victorian times went around hugging trees. I can't imagine that. They'd run the risk of being put in an asylum, probably. But I think tree hugging took off, especially in India, when the village ladies, it was the village ladies who'd all gather around a tree to stop the cutting down of trees, which was going on at a massive rate. And taken up in the West as well. In fact, what was that bypass that was put through some group of woodland? And people were protesting and they had hammocks and tree houses up in the trees and they couldn't cut these trees down. Was it the Newland? Was it Newland Bypass? It was about 10, 15 years ago. Newbury, thank you. Yeah, Newbury Bypass. And it held up the construction of this road through this place of special scientific interest. Of course, as long as there's not commercial interest threatened, then it all goes out the window. And they were probably hugging trees, but they were living in the trees. So these trees that Lord Chaitanya hugged and liberated. Imagine, the local people, these, as it says here, these trees were, what does it say? Seven palm trees that were very old, very bulky, and very high. So if you went to hug one of these palm trees, you know, you couldn't. You'd probably cry. 20. There's some pictures of trees you see on the internet, enormous, especially baobab trees. They're the big trees. They're very fat, and a few little branches at the top. They grow in Africa, and they store lots and lots of water in these trees. And some of these trees are literally thousands of years old. Enormous baobab trees, and there's some very big fig trees. Olive trees, very big. And of course, the sequoia redwood trees, they're very tall. And they're all very old as well, many of these trees. 2,000, at least. There's a stunted little tree goes in the California desert called the bristlecone pine. And it looks like it's dead. But they found that actually these are living, and they're as old as redwood trees. So put up your hand if you want to be a tree. Put up your hand if you think you've been a tree. Okay, so those who haven't put up your hands, where have you been? Are you just newly down here in the material world? No trees? Huh? Of course we don't remember, thank goodness. If we could remember, we'd go nuts, we'd go mad. Sometimes people say, well, reincarnation, how come I don't remember? You say, well, you go crazy. You got enough on your plate in this lifetime. Last lifetime? Then think of the mistakes and opportunities and stupid things you've done this lifetime. Imagine having memories of all the stupid stuff you've got done. My gosh, Krishna gives us come wipes the slate clean. But of course, the karma is still there. The karma remains. You don't remember. Well, why is this happening to me? Well, you're getting what you gave. You're getting a taste of what you gave. Good thing, bad thing. You did it. Here it is. Don't blame the instrument of one's karma. That's what Lord Jesus says. He says, turn the other cheek. Someone hits you, turn the other cheek. Not you say, come on, do it again. No. It means humility. Humility. So we don't blame the instrument of our karma because it gets more and more entangled. Especially vengeance. That's really, you know, you're going to get them and... Because in certain duties and social duties, like the chatriya, the king, the administrators, they have to administer justice and maintain the laws of society, but not through vengeance. Vengeance is very entangling, and we see that going on in the world. People are motivated by vengeance, and it creates absolute havoc. Everyone gets pulled in. It's very, very bad. But I was going to say a few words about trees, a few trees. Mundane trees. We've had a few trees here come down at the manor over the years since we first moved here. There used to be a big horse chestnut tree on the lawn that Prabhupada used to sit under, and that's fell down. That's gone. There's been a couple of those. Trees come and go. It's a new tree in George Harrison's garden. It's a weeping atlas cedar. It's a cedar tree, but it kind of, its branches go down. Never seen it crying, but there's a weeping at the cedar. There's also willow trees by the lake. Willow trees have inside the inner bark of a willow tree. What's it called? Salicylin. It's good for headaches. It's the inner bark. It's used as before aspirin was discovered. Aspirin. They used to use the inner bark of the trees. The willow tree. So just like there's herbs grow out of the ground, and there's many medicinal herbs. So similarly, there are many trees which are medicinal, but we've lost. Generally speaking, our machine society, machine culture, we lose sight of all these the gifts that come in the form of different trees. But there wouldn't be a lot of building going on without some form of tree in the form of wood. Of course, very modern building, it's all concrete and steel, but traditionally it will be wood. And there are many different kinds of wood. When I was a young boy, we used to make modern airplanes out of balsa wood. Anyone knows balsa wood? Very light. It's so light. Very, very light wood. Incredibly. Amazingly light. Not very strong, but balsa wood. And at the end of the underscale, there's something called ironwood. Ironwood. Very, very hard. It's called ironwood for a good reason. Very, very hard. I was interested to read a few years ago, there were somewhere in the North America, in the US, they were digging a well, they pulled up some tree, some wood, some branches of a tree that was even harder than ironwood. It was a species they didn't know what it was. It's an extinct species of tree. Very, very hard wood. Very hard. You may recall during the sacrifice of where Daksha was, where Lord Shiva wasn't invited, and there was a big kerfuffle because Lord Shiva's wife got very upset, and there was a whole a big fight went on, and the Britasura, the big demon, took the instrument which was used in the sacrifice for beheading the sheep or the goats, and it was used on Daksha. It was made of wood, very hard. It wasn't a bit of, you know, a bit of two by four by from down the road. It was very hard, iron wood or something else, you know, all different kinds of wood, and there's many different types of trees as well. One tree really caught my attention the other day. Didn't see it personally, but read about it, called the sandbox tree. This is a bit of superfluous information. Called a sandbox tree. Big tree, and it's straight up. Big. Its trunk is covered in enormous thorns, great big thorns, all the way up. You wouldn't climb up that, you know. Worse than a monkey puzzle tree, because you wouldn't want to climb up that. Well, we couldn't. It's called a monkey puzzle because the monkeys don't jump on those trees. They come from South America. Big, they grow very, very big. Behind the temple in Dublin, when it used to be a place called Templeogue, up on the hill, one of the Irish lairds in the past had planted these monkey puzzles on his estate, and these were 200 or 300 foot high. Very, looks like prehistoric, enormous great trees. Anyway, the sandbox tree. If you ever you come across a sandbox tree, just stay away. The sap is very toxic. You get it in your eye, it'll blind you. The Indians of the area, they use the sap for as a poison arrow, tip on the poison arrow. But the worst thing is that the seeds of the sandbox tree explode. They go pop. There's a few plants that we know in the garden, they go pop, and they'll shoot the seed off, you know, 2 or 3 feet. Quite a few of them do that. But this sandbox tree, 150 miles an hour. A seed, it'll kill you. If these seeds hit you, it'll kill you. Bang, off it goes. With a range of 60 or 70 feet. So beware of the sandbox tree. We're just talking about trees at this point, but we're going to go to the more transcendental trees in a moment. So the trees that Lord Chaitanya liberated, he hugged them. He was the original tree hugger. And he sends them back to Vaikuntha. So if you do hug trees again, maybe you do, be sure to chant Hare Krishna mantra and the Panchatattva mantra, Lord Chaitanya's blessings. So bless the tree. The trees are conscious. They're dumbed down, but they're this thing. I read there's a ceremony, a traditional ceremony in India particularly, probably was once around the world, that the wife of the king at a certain time of year in the springtime, there'd be a ceremony and the mantras, and the queen would kick the tree in the springtime. Time to wake up. Come on, wake up. Start getting out your buds and your flowers and things. The springtime is the time of waking for the trees. They put out the green leaves and all the flowers. Springtime is a very nice time of year. So these trees that Lord Chaitanya liberated were called a tala. Palm, tala. It's this tala palm is known as It's got various names, which include some of the names is a toddy palm, wine palm, pal palm, palmyra palm. And it says the fleshy brown fruits, or black fruits, have a fibrous pulp, and each seed is enclosed in a woody. So those of you from India, okay, some of you come from familiar with the. Some of my Indian friends, they come brought up in a village life, in a village situation. Not you weren't all city slickers. Some of you came from village. So, any of you familiar with this tal fruit or tal palm? Anyone? Tell us. You familiar? Yes. What's the fruit like? It's black. Is it tasty? Prepare a cake with it, yeah? Yeah? You can make nice things from the juice as well. So it isn't any fruit that we get in the West. Okay. Is it the same kind of palm that you can get the juice and make this kind of intoxicating wine? It's a different one. It's okay. It's kosher. It's non-alcoholic. Yeah. Okay. Because there are some palms you take the juice, and I've heard it's very tasty. But you've got to drink it before sunrise because it ferments. And a few devotees a few years ago, they said, "Let's have some," and they didn't know what was going on. And the locals were all laughing because the devotees were getting really drunk, and they weren't familiar with what was going on. And of course, there's got sugarcane jaggery. There's also palm syrup jaggery as well, which is very nice. Very nice. I love jaggery. So tall fruit. Tall. It's described them as tall palm trees, not tall, but tall, taller. And the history of them. These trees were very old, and it said very bulky, very tall. But these trees had a previous connection with Ramachandra's pastimes. It wasn't just Lord Chaitanya. And so just a brief, very brief history. When Lord Ramachandra when he was banished in the forest and after Sita had been abducted by Ravana, he was told, Ramachandra was told by one of the sages to look for Sugriva, who could help him. King of the monkeys, Sugriva, king of the Varnas, could help him in his search for Sita. And eventually he found him, and Sugriva was requesting Ram to help him regain his kingdom. But Sugriva, his brother, it was from his brother, Bali, but Bali was very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. He wasn't an ordinary Varana. So when Ramachandra said he'd help him get his kingdom, Sugriva wasn't convinced about Ramachandra's valor. He said, you prove to me that you're strong, you have enough prowess to fight with Bali. He said, Bali, he with a single arrow, he penetrated this big, big tall tree with an arrow. And he also slew this great big, this big demon. He threw him hundreds and hundreds of yards, maybe more, maybe it was a mile or two. He killed this demon and threw him. So you've got to show me. So Lord Ramachandra said, yes, certainly. So Lord Rama took an arrow, golden arrow, and released this arrow, and it went through seven of these big palm trees. Seven of them. Through them, all of them. Went through a rock and went into the very heart of the earth, which was pretty impressive. And then it returned in his quiver. Not only did he shoot the arrow, it went through all these trees, it went through a rock, it went through a mountain, entered the earth, and after a few minutes it came out again and went back into Lord Rama's quiver. So these weren't ordinary arrows. And of course Lord Ramachandra is no ordinary mortal. So Sugriva was impressed. And he said, well, Bali, he also threw this demon, threw him so many miles away. So, can you? Because this demon's bones were still there. big pile of bones. It was a big. So Ramachandra, with his big toe, he just flicked it with his toe and.
Oh, thank you.
Hare Krishna. So just using his toe, Lord Ramachandra, and the bone, the pile of bones went flying off. So anyway, that was the history of these trees. There was a connection. So how long ago was it Lord Ramachandra was on this planet? How many? 1.5 million years ago? Was it Satyuga or Treta Yuga? Treta Yuga. So we're looking at some million or so years ago. So that's a long wait for those trees. Imagine being around for that long. But finally they're given liberation, personally by Lord Chaitanya. So we are praying for the embrace of Lord Chaitanya. We are praying for that embrace. And yet the pure devotee doesn't want liberation. That's the amazing thing. We should want to go back to Godhead. We should want that. But when Prabhupada says we should aspire to go back to Goloka, Vrindavan, the spiritual sky. But actually when we're qualified, then the desire is not there. We just want to be an instrument of whatever you want, Krishna. And that's the key. Whatever Krishna wants. So we should definitely aspire for that. Of course, the trees in Goloka are a bit different to the trees here. I mean, trees here may live for 2,000 or 3,000 years within our that we know of. But as Prabhupada says, there are hundreds and hundreds of trees on this planet. But there are, according to the Vedic description, there are 2 million trees, 2 million different species, many of which aren't found here. One of which is the Parijata tree. Parijata tree. So the Parijata tree anyone here smelt a Parijata tree, or do they have them in Kew Gardens? Huh?
There's one in Uttar Pradesh, there's Parijata tree.
Is there? Is it a real Parijata tree?
That's what they say, Krishna Gaur.
And where is it? From Lucknow, okay. Well, they're very lucky in Lucknow if they've got a Parijata tree, yes. So there's a bit of a story there. Rukmini was given a Parijata flower by, I think it was Narada Muni. Or Narada Muni gave a flower to Krishna, he gave it to Rukmini. And Rukmini was very, very pleased. But Satyabhama was very upset. Satyabhama's, she tells Krishna what's what. She was furious. She was furious that Rukmini had been given her. So Krishna said, "Don't worry, I'll get you a whole I gave Rukmini a flower. I'll get you a whole tree." So when Krishna went to Indraloka and returned the earrings of Indra's mother, a demon had stolen these earrings of Indra's mother. Krishna took them back, and he gave them to Indra. And Indra was thank you. He's very, very gracious, very thankful. And then, when Krishna said to Satyabhama, "Well, there's the tree," and she took the tree, and Indra was furious. So his gratitude was very short lived. He said, "Well, thanks for the earrings, but you're not having the tree." And there's a big fight. Big fight. And Prabhupada says this is the nature of the materialist. They're all sweet and, you know, sweet words and all. Yeah, yeah. When there's some deal that they're, you know, something for them. But when it comes to giving something, of course, materialists can be generous sometimes. Sometimes. If it suits them, of course. Often there's strings attached. It's about profit and adoration and a position to be seen, you know, to be seen to give. It's very prestigious to give. But if there's not an audience, some people just don't give. So this is materially motivated. So it happens every time. I make loads of notes. bits and pieces, interesting things, and never get round to it. We're talking about trees. There's also allegorical trees. Not real trees, allegorical ones. For example, family tree. We talk about the family tree. Do families have a tree? No, do they keep a tree? This is the family tree. No, it's the lineage, isn't it? It's my father and mother and their father and mother, and this tree goes back. Well, the other day I saw a tree on a diagram on the internet. The tree, the evolutionary tree. We got evolutionary trees as well. Because as devotees, Prabhupada used to say, no, it's evolution of consciousness, not evolution of species. Species come and go. It's the consciousness that evolves. So there's this tree. And anyway, we won't get into that. But there's different allegorical trees. In terms of could mention Prabhupada's family tree. He speaks about it briefly. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's reference to the different branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. Again, the allegory is there, the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree, the different lineages of the spiritual masters and disciples. There's a here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I didn't make a note of the verse, of the reference. But, the translation says, on the western side of the 43rd, 44th and 45th branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupama. They were the best of all. But in the purport, Sri Anupama was the father of Sri Jiva Goswami and younger brother of Sri Sanatan Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami. His former name was Balaba, but after Lord Chaitanya met him, he gave him the name Anupama. Because of working in the Muslim government, these three brothers were given the title Mulik. Our personal family is connected with the Muliks of Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta. And we often used to visit their Radha Govinda temple. They belong to the same family as we do. Our family gotra, or original genealogical line, or family tree, is the Gautama Gotra, or line of disciples of Gautama Muni, and our surname is Day. So that's a little glimpse of Prabhupada's family tree. And there's a lot of money made these days. People want to trace the family tree. You can. I've never done it myself. So there's places that you can pay people for the services of finding out who your ancestors were. So, Srila Prabhupada informs us that for one who becomes Krishna conscious, not just he himself or she herself, but also family members, so many generations, in the past and future, are go back to Godhead. So we can liberate our trees as well. It's not just Lord Chaitanya liberates the trees, but we can also liberate our family tree by becoming Krishna conscious. And even if we're not successful, whatever progress we make, also the family benefits. So the final tree I'd like to speak about is the Kalpavriksha tree. Excuse me. No, not the Kalpavriksha tree. We've had that one, haven't we? My memory's going as the years roll by. The wish-fulfilling tree. What's it called? Chintamani, yes. No, that's the stone. Chintamani is a stone. Kalpavriksha. Yes, Kalpavriksha tree. The Kalpavriksha tree. There are many wonderful descriptions in the Bhagavatam of trees and gardens on the heavenly planets, but also of the realm of transcendence. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a brief description. He says, Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers. This is called Pravriksha tree. And the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. In Vrindavan, there are cows that fulfill all desires. Cows, kamadhenus, and their number is unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Ramajyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form. The Ramajyoti has form, which is the realm of Goloka. The gopis there are goddesses of fortune, and they surpass the goddess of fortune who abides in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. The damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone, Chintamani. The water is all nectar. The talking is singing, the walking is dancing, and the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. Every other place has got its downside. So there's a final tree. This is the end, no? There's a final tree. And this is a tricky one. It's a tree mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. And this tree is all around us. What tree is all around us? Can you see? That's the one I'm looking for. No, there's a description. There's a term used which includes the word tree. And then you're getting there. Getting there. No, not quite. Almost. Come on. No. Krishna mentions it in the Bhagavad Gita. No, you tell me what it is. What's it called? Called the upside down tree. The upside down tree. Before we get specific, it's called the upside down tree. Why? Because it's a reflection. Yes. We're in the perverted tree. Why? Because we're perverted. We have perverted our pure love of Krishna. We're perverted. Everyone in the material world is a pervert. It's a fact. It's a fact. And what is the opposite of this perversion? It's pure love of God. It's very simple. Sex life is the perversion of pure love of God. No, of course, we won't go into all that dark side, but just normal sex life. We all need it. We wouldn't be here without it. But it's out and down. I mean, love of God is inward and up. You can choose. It's whoop or it's whoop, isn't it? That bhakti lata. That seed, bhakti lata, it penetrates the coverings of the universe. Not out there, it's inwards, to the soul. It grows to, it's a soul tree. It grows. Even that analogy is there. The bhakti lata beads, it's a seed. That creeper goes all the way to Krishna's lotus feet. So the upside down tree is the perverted reflection of transcendence. It used to, that picture in the original Gita, an amazing painting of this tree. All it's upside down. The top is Radha and Krishna in Goloka, and then the reflection is it's a picture of Brahma and all the demigods. And this tree just gets more and more tangled. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. It goes on and on and on. This is the entanglement of material existence. The upside down tree. So we need to break out of the upside down tree. And Prabhupada says in this. In his purport in the Gita, after Krishna describes the upside down tree, I'll just mention the verses and then just give this brief purport from Prabhupada. Lord Krishna says, this is chapters 15, verse 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has its roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world, nor can one understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrenders to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender under the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. So in the purport, it's in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, one should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes the Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, he can cut off his attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing himself in saffron cloth. He must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously. The devotional service, as described in the 12th chapter, is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. In chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature is described. Only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. Therefore, one should take it very seriously that devotional service is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. So all glories to the tree. It's interesting that when Hiranyakashipu and the various demons take charge, they order their servant, they say, cut down the trees and kill the cows. Get rid of the Brahmins. Because the forest and the trees are natural suppliers of all the necessities of human society. Herbs and medicines, so many things are in the forest. So we shouldn't cut down trees. There's one time in America, there's one tree, I think it was one of the Gurukuls. It had kind of half fallen over. It was toppled. It wasn't complete. This was when Prabhupada was away. And Prabhupada noted this tree. Just like there used to be a big magnolia tree just outside here. Who remembers the magnolia tree? That was a beautiful tree. It was called the land lotus. Because there's lots of different types of magnolia tree. And the flowers were like this. A lovely scent. big flowers, land lotus, magnolia. And one day it was gone. And I found the gardener. I said, what have you done? He cut down the tree. He said, oh, the roots, they penetrate the building. I don't know if they did. Some trees, yeah, some tree roots do, and other trees don't. So I don't know. But it was tragic. Some people think they're making progress by cutting down trees. We've got to get some work done. Cut down the tree. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's demonic. The demons want the trees cut down. And they want the cows killed off. Now they're saying that the cows are the air that the cows pass is polluting the atmosphere. This is demonic. This is demonic. And there's a lot of it goes on. All the forests in Sumatra and Indonesia and South America, they're getting just hacked down, thousands of acres. Every year, millions of acres. So this is the craziness. Demons look like somehow or other they want to cut down trees. So don't cut down trees. Nurture your inner tree of bhakti, that inside, a creeper or a tree. And let us glorify the Lord. And come in Harinam Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. The holy name embraces everyone, goes in their ears and touches their heart, chanting the holy name. So come out when you can, either during the day, Saturday, or Saturday evening in London. I always put that little plug in. And thank you for asking me to. Good class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Were there any questions? Were there any questions? Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Within the Dandakaranya forest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited a place called Saptatala. The seven palm trees there were very old, very bulky, and very high. And upon seeing the seven palm trees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them. As a result, they all returned to Vaikuntha Loka in the spiritual world. Only Lord Ramachandra has the power to send seven palm trees to the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, the people said. And today's what's on the board. Eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at a lake known as Pampa, where he took his bath. Then he went to a place called Panchavati, where he rested. So just a brief description of his embracing the palm trees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.